Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the La Caparra Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report this morning with Paul Ramo in his usual position at the control panel. Like we do in the spring, starting at 8:30, we start out with golf, and Kip Stender is up first about the girls' golf. They had the section changed a little bit because of inclement weather last week. They decided to go back-to-back days, and for Dawson Boyd, it didn't affect them at all. They won it pretty easily, and two La Caparra Valley girls will be in the state tournament next week, where that's held. Congratulations, Kip.
Well, thank you, Dick. Yeah, and like you mentioned, Dawson Boyd girls won the section quite handily. Congratulations to Corey and the team. They've had a great team all season. They will go down and do very well at the state. And then also congratulations to the La Caparra boys winning the section also and qualifying as a team. Like you mentioned, we had two qualifiers, Molly Halverson and Kate Alstead. And it's always good if you can't get the team through. You want to get as many individuals as possible in. And wasn't our best golf of the year for the team, but Kate golfed really well, hit her personal best on Tuesday, and then followed it up, I think, real similar score the second day. And right now I'm trying to get my open and let give you the... So on, as a team-wise, Dawson Boyd shot a 671 to win it. Community Christian had a phone call coming here. I can't see it right now. Community Christian shot a 761 to finish second. La Caparra Valley, we finished third with a 786, and Benson was fourth with an 822. On the individual side of things, Lindsey Lund shot a really solid second day, finished two over on the round, and won the tournament with a 156. And I'm still getting the phone call. Brooke Brecky from Atwater Cosmos Grove City finished second with a 157, so there's a one-stroke difference there. Alyssa Swadinsky finished third with a 162. Tyler Yomlin finished fourth with a 167. Molly Halverson was fifth with a 169. Hope Reed finished sixth with a 179. Kate Alstead was seventh with a 180. And then Margot Claussen, 183 for eighth. Peyton Sander from Bold finished ninth with a 184. And rounding out the top ten was Claire Stratmon with a 186 from Dawson. Peyton Sachs finished 14th with a 192, just a few strokes out of qualifying for state. And then we had America Avila and Macy Zarbuck both shot 120s. America shot 245 for the 2 days, and Macy Zarbuck shot a 258 for the 2 days. And so that ends the season for the team. We have Kate Alstead and Molly Halverson heading to the state. And we've had practice already. We'll be heading down there next week to get a practice round in on Tuesday morning and, you know, prepare them and go down, have some fun. It's a great atmosphere. Pebble Creek does a nice job. And head to the banquet and go have some fun and compete.
That starts when?
It is. It's a week from next Tuesday, so it's the...
Okay.
It's the 10th and 11th of June, Tuesday, Wednesday. The banquet would be Monday night, the 9th. So if you want to see some really good golf, Dawson Boyd is shooting some scores we haven't seen in Class A, if ever. And so they're golfing really well. And, you know, go down and support them. Anytime we have a local school and a school from our conference, it's always good to see that and support them. And we know that we got to work a lot harder if we want to get back there, and we'll see if we can do that next year.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will have you on next week to, or possibly not, because you won't have the tournament until, but...
Right.
We'll talk to you in 2 weeks and then probably wrap up your season as well on that show. Okay.
Typically, we'll do that. I'll have everything ready then and can do the season ending kind of information. If we've had the banquet, they'll hear it all, and if not, the girls hear the team awards at the banquet. So.
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Congratulations on your two entries into the state tournament, and we'll hear all about it.
Thank you, Dick.
Kip Stenders on girls golf. Barry Bessonen's in the studio talking about the Lacaparra Valley team going to the state themselves, and we'll hear all about that after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
It's a time of new beginnings and a time to reflect back to those great times you've experienced with friends and family during the past 18 years. It's graduation time. Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison sends out best wishes to all the graduates at our area high schools. Some of the graduates of Lacaparra Valley High School this year include Landon Weber, Blake Wells, Morgan Williamson, Taylor Wood, Carson Young, and Delilah Zambrano. Best of luck to you and your classmates from Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison.
Back here at the studio, talking boys golf now with Barry Bessonen. And once again, congratulations there, Barry.
Thank you. Pretty exciting experience for the guys the other day, and more to come.
Yeah, that's for sure. So let's talk about that section tournament.
Okay. Well,
so it didn't really bother you going back-to-back endurance.
I actually like the back-to-back, and we had played earlier in the year, we had played the Wilmer New London back-to-back 36 holes, so we've done it before, and kind of, you know, a lot of things throughout the year, you know, that we do, and I kind of look forward as far as preparation for if someone or the team gets to that point, they've had some experience. That's why I like that we had another one scheduled and it didn't work out weather-wise where we were playing back-to-back. So I think for our guys, it wasn't a big deal. And I actually kind of like the section that way because I think the one thing it does is I think you can turn around the next day and, you know, you don't have a lot to dwell on a bad round, a lot of time to dwell on a bad round. You don't have a lot of time to get overly confident if you have a good round because you got to turn around and play the next day. You don't have a week to either stew on it or pat yourself on the back. So I kind of like I like the format like that. There are some sections that do that. So, I thought for us it was kind of an advantage.
Okay.
So we started out day one. It had rained that morning. So things are a little wet. I think it stopped raining right before the first group, which was our, you know, we were playing in the lead group. They paired everyone by team, so it was our guys playing with Dawson, Boyd, Central Minnesota Christian, Community Christian. They kind of ranked the teams, and so we were the top four teams, so we got to go off first. And so it stopped raining right as that group got to that first tee box. And Carson went out, set the tone really early. He went out and even though he hit his first tee shot into the driving range and made a scrambling bogey, he came back with a birdie a few holes later, but he's even par, but the guys in his group were just struggling. He kind of got that going and then we kind of went from there. Ended up finishing the day with a score of 325, which in a lot of years a 325 would probably give you a nice lead. And actually we were double figure leads over third and fourth place, but Belgrade Brutinel Rosa was up one on us with a 324. I think kind of as talking to their coach, he flat out said, he goes, "We've been averaging 360 all year, so I don't know where this came from." So we went into the day two with a one shot deficit, which was okay. Even if it's one shot, it's still like, well, we're the pursuer instead of the being pursued. So I think it takes a little pressure off. But day one, we had scoring wise, Carson shot 73 with a double bogey on his ninth hole. Problems we all have. He had a drive too far. hit it right and past the ninth green and made double from there with the water looming behind the green. So Griffin Kranz shot 78. Noah Arndt shot 85. Gavin Carl shot 88. Caden Stender shot 89. And then Aaron Bond shot 100 to round out our lineup. So that was day one, and day two we came back and we left here and it was nice here, and we got to Wilmer and it was raining pretty good, and I was talking to the course superintendent. He said, "Yeah, I went out and turned the sprinklers on the night before and it was pouring." And he said they had 4 or 5 tenths between that night and then the next morning before we started play, they had 4 tenths, 5, close to a half inch of rain. So, of course, it was a little soggy because it rained the day before, too. And, of course, a little different because then we were going off later because they put the lead groups later, which actually was an advantage because we avoided the rain let things dry up a little bit. It was still wet in a lot of spots, but... the kids got going. I went with a different group of kids because our group, our 4, 5, and 6 were separated from our 1, 2, 3 because they put the individuals in the middle. So I was out with the 4, 5, 6 and I won, and I had no idea what was going on. And they kind of did that intentionally because sometimes once you start looking at that app, you can't stop looking at it. Keep updating it to see what's going on. So but I was late, and I think I was walking with Caden Stenner. I was late and around. One of the other coaches said something. He said, what was it happening? He goes, "Well, I think that just gave you the section championship." And so I waited about 15 minutes later, and I looked, and we were up by 20 shots. I was surprised. I expected it to be a single-digit margin. I thought, Dawson and Central would both make a move, and they didn't. And we were up by 20, and I still hadn't looked at the individual results. And Aaron Bond was done. He says, "Well, I see Carson's doing okay." He's okay. I turned looking at the time. He was like 1 under, and then went and made a birdie and gone to 2 under on the day. And, had a late bogey, shot 71. So it was nice to see that we had that margin and we could breathe a little and relax for those last few holes. So we ended up in first place with a 658. Dawson Boyd was second at 681. Central Minnesota Christian was third with 686. BB was fourth with a 700. On the app, it actually shows ACGC as fourth with a 698. ACGC was not in the team component, but they did have four individuals that advanced, so the app calculated their scores while they were playing. So individually, Carson Bessonen came through, shot even par for the tournament to get the victory. It's his third time as a Section 5 champion. He won it in ninth grade, and then he won it also his junior year. The other 2 years he played, he took second. So, an excellent run there. He was 2 shots ahead of Ryan Schrupp. Funny thing was the second day there were only 2 guys that broke 80, And the two guys that broke 80 both shot under par. With Carson and Ryan. Ryan actually had a great round, shot 69. And, great for Ryan. Great kid. He's a good friend with all our players. He's kind of an adopted member of our team. And, him and Carson have been good friends for.
Where's he from?
From RCW.
Okay.
And him and Carson have been friends for a number of years. And so couldn't ask, if anyone was to do it, I'm very happy for Ryan to play well. And Griffin Kranz took third at 161, so he was 15 shots behind second. He shot 83 the second day. Fourth overall was Austin Qualley from ACGC at 163. Fifth was Carson Stratmon from Dawson Boyd with 164. Also tied for fifth, Connor Larson, a seventh grader from Benson at 164. And then the final qualifier, who also tied for fifth overall at 164, was Carter Tages from Central Minnesota Christian. Noah Arndt came in 14th for us with 171. He shot 85, dropped the shot from the day before. Caden Stender shot, he came back with a 94. That was our fourth score. He had a 183. Gavin Carl shot at a 184, so he shot 96 that day. And then Aaron Bond shot 98 for a total of 198 to round out our team scoring. So,
was this the first year that BBE and ACGC were in the section? Or
no, BBE's been in for quite a while. They actually won the section a couple times here 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
They had a nice team here. I want to say it was about 2 or 3 years ago, I think they took third in the state. ACGC has been in 2 or 3 years. ACGC came in about the same time Bold and Buffalo Lake came in, which was probably 2 or 3 years ago. But BB has been in the entire time.
Okay.
So it kind of rounds out that section tournament.
Yeah. So same schedule as what Kip was talking about. You get a week off, and then the banquet on a week from Monday, and then starting Tuesday and Wednesday that following week.
Yep, same schedule. I think maybe Thursday we're going to try and go up to Becker and take the team up. And then, of course, there's a Monday practice round two before the tournament that they've got times blocked off for the site by section, and we're going to play in that too and see if anyone wants to go up anymore in that, we'll see. But June 9th we have that practice round and the banquet. The tournament is June 10th and 11th at Pebble Creek and Becker. The boys play in the afternoon this year, so I think the first afternoon tee times are at about noon, provided everything stays on schedule. There have been years where things have gotten delayed because of pace of play. From the girls in the morning, and vice versa. It's happened both ways. Our guys will not tee off right away at noon. They'll have some individuals from other sections. The individuals go off, a group of them first, so it'll probably be closer to 12:30 or so before we start sending our guys out. I think I'm guessing our last one, Carson, will probably go off somewhere around 1:30. Roughly. We'll see all that later this week. There's still one section, I think, that hasn't finished their tournament.
Okay. And I know you know statewide who the powerhouses are.
I would say right now Walker, Hackensack, Akeley, they're loaded. They have the defending state champion and who's going to play at South Dakota State. They've got four kids that are... I think in their section, I saw their scores. They went 1, 2, 3, 4 individually in their section. They're loaded. Legacy Christian's pretty good out of the cities, I think once you get past Walker, and of course you never know because it's a state tournament, anything goes.
Sure,
see what happens. You never know.
Yeah.
See what happens. So but I'd say Walker's the favorite.
Okay.
They've been ranked number one all year and have put up the best scores consistently.
Okay. Well. We'll hear all about it in 2 weeks, and we'll see if your prediction is accurate there, Barry.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens.
Once again, congratulations, and we won't talk next week, but in 2 weeks we'll hear all about it and then probably wrap up your season.
All right.
Barry Bessenden on Boys Golf, and with that, we'll take this break and come back after the 9 o'clock hour.
Sparkling Ice Water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling Ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, May 30th through Monday, June 2nd in Theater One. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, rated PG-13. And in Theater Two, the hottest movie in the country, Lilo and Stitch, rated PG. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison.
Saturday afternoon, that's Section 3A baseball. It's an elimination game between the Mineota Vikings and the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks. It'll be played at Yankee Field in Milroy. First pitch around 2:30 Saturday afternoon. That's Dawson Boyd in Mineota in Section 3A baseball, Saturday, right here on Q92.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. It's a time of new beginnings and a time to reflect back to those great times you've experienced with friends and family during the past 18 years. It's graduation time. Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison sends out best wishes to all the graduates at our area high schools. Some of the graduates of Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Landon Weber, Blake Wells, Morgan Williamson, Taylor Wood, Carson Young, and Delilah Zambrano. Best of luck to you and your classmates from Greg Thole at Greg Thole Electric in Madison.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Erickson Chevrolet in Dawson congratulates the 2020 Dawson Boyd graduates. Congratulations on your accomplishments. We are proud of the people you have become. We look forward to seeing what you achieve as you move forward. Set out each day believing in your dreams. Know without a doubt that you were made for great things. Congratulations once again from Erickson.
Here at Q92, it's 8:56. Great music for St. Leo, Porter, Ivanhoe, and Taunton on 92.1 FM Q92.
I don't know if I'm ever coming home. You can be here by 4:30, cause I've made your reservation. Don't be slow. No. And I don't know if I'm ever coming home. Take the last train of Clarksville.
Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
A promise from the Defense Secretary. I'm Jack Callahan, Fox News. Pete Hegseth telling allies in the Indo-Pacific region that they will not face threats from China alone.
The threat China poses is real, and it could be imminent. We hope not, but it certainly could be.
Secretary Hegseth spoke at the Shangri-La Dialogue, that's Asia's largest security forum, saying Washington will bolster its defenses overseas to counter what the Pentagon sees as rapidly developing threats by Beijing, especially in the aggressive stance toward Taiwan. China has a stated goal of having the military capability to take Taiwan by force, if necessary, by 2027. President Trump in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last evening to celebrate the future of U.S. steel.
There will be no layoffs and no outsourcing whatsoever, and every U.S. steel worker will soon receive a well-deserved $5,000 bonus.
Fox's Christina Coleman reports.
The president touted the partnership he brokered between U.S. Steel and Japan's Nippon Steel as some wait to learn more details regarding this agreement. White House officials say this partnership involves a $14 billion investment that will create at least 70,000 jobs and ensure steel is made in America for decades to come. Trump also announced plans to raise tariffs on steel imports to 50%, which he says will further secure the steel industry in the U.S. This rate increase is set to go into effect on June 4th.
It is unclear if the deal for U.S. Steel has been finalized. The United Steelworkers Union has expressed concerns over what that deal would look like. Elon Musk leaving his role at the White House as the head of the Department of Government Efficiency. He's led the president's waste-cutting task force since Inauguration Day, telling the press yesterday the federal budget cuts don't end here.
This is not the end of DOGE, but really the beginning.
President Trump also saying DOGE's work will continue. America's listening to Fox News.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app. The voices America trusts. Download.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 86. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 60 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 90 tomorrow. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Daytime highs approaching 93 Monday with a chance of thunderstorms. Rain 69 on Tuesday. Take a look at the extended forecast, 76 Wednesday, 74 Thursday, and 78 on Friday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Right now, it's 72 degrees.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
You studied hard, you stayed up late, you made the grade. This graduation salute comes to you from Whitnable Construction in Madison. Congratulations on your accomplishments. We are proud of the people you have become. We look forward to seeing what you achieve as you move forward. Congratulations from Whitnable Construction in Madison.
The time at 4 minutes past nine.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparro Valley Coaches Show. Section sports underway and completed. We did the golf last half hour, and congratulations once again to two Pearl Valley girls golfers and the team from Lacaparro on the boys' side, and of course Dawson Boyd, defending girls' champion. Looks like they're kind of on top again this year, and hopefully they can do it. And an area team puts Western Minnesota on the map. So we're going to start this hour of the Coach's Show with Boys and Girls Track and John Sherb, and he's in the studio, and pretty much the way you figured, John, I think, going out, you got a lot of kids in the subsection, and they probably performed their best of the year. We're open, and you'll tell us all about it starting now.
Yeah, you know, going to the section meet was at Redwood last Thursday. You just didn't know. Paper-wise doesn't mean a heck of a lot, because if you look at paper, you know, Brayson wasn't even top two in all his events. So you knew, it's just you survive subs to get to section. That was our big goal, was to get that way. And just all the other events was just, let's get in, can we get in the section? So it's very, very, our section is solid. You know, if you look at some of a lot of the events, our events are pretty solid in a lot of areas. And so you're going to go in and see what you can and see what you can do with things. And I thought our kids really came in prepared mentally and physically. I thought they looked very good. And did some really good. We had a lot of performance or season bests at the section meet, and that's all you can ask. If you're performing at your top, at your marks there, that's all you can ask. Some of the kids didn't have their marks, but they still competed very well. And that's the other thing, is I thought our kids, didn't matter how they were seated, they went after things and they competed their butt off, and that's all you can ask. And that's the biggest thing as a coach. It's always tough to handle, because you see some kids that don't. Let's see, I'm seated 15 out of 16. I don't have a chance. Why do I even go? And that's – our kids never showed that mentality. And that was – we were seated 15th or 16th, and maybe we finished 15th. Maybe we finished 11th. I mean, that was all you ask. And so, like I said, our kids really went at it. And so Thursdays over there was top two were automatic qualifiers for the state meet. And if you threw a standard, then you – or competed in the standard, you would get to go in that way. So that was your options to get to state. And – you know, like I said, going in, I thought we had four events that we can get in, and all four of those shined like I thought they would, and that was good to see there. We did have a rain delay. That was kind of the screwy part a little bit. We got over there. We got the field events. Most of the field events were through the finals and just completing up their first rounds, and then also made a lightning to the north and some rain. So then we ended up getting to about a half an hour delay. And so you don't know how that's going to happen, because it was right during Brayson was in it was in the triple jump finals. He had gotten one jump in the finals, and they shut it down. Our 4x8s were just getting ready to go on the track too, so you kind of got caught in that mystification. So then they sent everybody out. They brought it in and then came back half an hour. The kids got warmed up again, 15 minutes, get warmed up, went at it, and then we were solid throughout the meet, so it was good. Starting off, I'll just start off with, I got my paper here. I know they had problems finding results, and I, again, I don't know. We had an app that was sent to us to use during, but once the meet was over, then it went silent. So it was kind of a issue there. I know some people were trying to find emails and stuff like that. It was tough to find, but now it should be up on there. Girls 4x8 ran really well. We were thinking about moving some kids in and out of the 4x8. We left our 4x8 team the same that we ran at subs, and we came out and ran really well. We ended up running 12 seconds faster with the same crew, and that's all you can ask on the kids. The girls, which is very impressive what we are. And we were actually, through two legs, we were in second place. And that's impressive where we ran, because, you know, our section is solid with McCray, and Camby's got two solid 4x8s, and we were right in with, and our same order was way we've been running. We ran really well through two, and we ran well three and four, but they got too many legs on us to go at. But finished with a time of 10:36.53 to finish third. That was Bryn Glege, Harper Grunholz, Talia Hursum, and Taylor Wood. Boys 4x8, same crew there, very young crew in that match. You know, they ran really well, too. They also ran their season best also, and that's all you can ask with them, too. They ended up finishing seventh, and we were in a slow heat, so there was nine teams in front of us. I think we were sitting 10th place coming in, but we ran really well and cut off time, and we ended up getting seventh, and that was with a time of 9:29.82. Matthew Bothan, Tanner Callis, Tayden Clark, Cade Solom. And, again, we had both of those 4x8s had good leadoff legs. Our leadoff legs put us in contention to compete, and that was all you can ask with it, and that's what we did and competed. Then you get into the 4x2 girls. 4x2 girls ended up running their season best also. Cleaned up some things on that. We had some shaky, I know in practice throughout the week, our 4x2 was having some shaky handoffs a little bit, but they hit the marks where they needed to be. They ended up finishing 11th at 157.34. That was Macy Coyer, Jalissa Ramos, Sadie Rosendahl, and Sadie Hacker. And, again, they had nice handoffs all the way through, and they competed very well for it. Then the boys 4x2, they finished 11th. That was Beckett Anderson, David Torgerson, Mason Bothan, and Kale Tufto, and they finished 11th with a 138.92, and that is our season best there also. So that's all you can ask with those. We just competed and went at it. Then in the girls' mile, Chloe Glege was in the mile, and she's the one that we could have flipped into the 4x8 because she had an open event if we wanted to, but it'd make a very tough comeback that close running a 4x8 and then coming back and running the mile. So we just left her in the mile, and she PR'd in the mile. She got sixth overall with a time of 5:39.29. Again, just in contention and worked and went at it. In the boys' mile, Gavin Carl finished sixth at a 447.67. Again, good finish there for him to get through. And like I said, just, you know, it's way he competed there all the way out and just hit a little bit of a tough wall at the end there, but still finished very well. Boys 4x1, they ended up running well. Again, we're just, you know, again, we haven't had the serious speed. I mean, because, again, the Benson team that won it is just really, really fast. But we still ran our fast time. I think we are another second and a half off on our improvements, so that's all you can ask there. Finished 12th, 47.91. Dave Torgerson, Noah Meyer, Mason Bothan, and then we had Riley Borman in the anchor slot there. I know in the results, they did not change it. This is the other problem we have, too, is when you send relays in, they can transfer from subs to sections. Well, they didn't change our relay member, so unfortunately, you know, Kuchenmeister, who has been very well for us all year, was listed, but Riley Borman, who was our anchor in there, so there's going to be a typo in the paper, unfortunately, but hopefully everybody understands who's in and whatever on that one. Girls 400, Micaiah Poost, again, she really has blossomed into that 2-400. She's been an 800-gal, 400-gal for us, but we moved her around a little bit, and she really has had a tough, you know, heavier load to work with this last half of the season and has competed very well. She 103.79. And Jalissa Ramos was 12th, which is a PR for her because she went 105.17. I want to say her personal best was 106.7. So she's got another second and a half she cut off. So that's a great improvement for her. She's a ninth grader, and just hopefully she can step up. We can put her in some more events next year. The biggest thing was keeping her healthy, and she stayed healthy this year and looked very strong for us. Boys 400, Tanner Callis finished 14th at 55.27. 300-meter hurdles for boys. Mason Both and real, you know, he has not, I think it's the last half of the season we started running some 300 hurdles with him. And, boy, he has come along with those hurdles. If we could, you know, I know Bentley's been working on with form and everything else, and if we can just clean that form up a little bit over the hurdles, he'll make some very serious noise next year. And that's the thing, because he's only a sophomore running the hurdles and doing so late, but he's got enough speed in the middle. He PR'd with a 45.02 and finished fifth. Girls 800 was kind of the one that I said that's a shot we got to get in state, got a chance to get in state with Bryn. There was a Laverne girl that ran really, really well at subs and time. She was a fast time coming into the section. And the Canby girl had been running really well too. So it was kind of a dogfight because Bryn really hasn't had to race it, to be honest. She's always gotten out, sat, and then decided to go with 200 meters to go or 300. She's made moves that way. Well, now she actually got someone got it out. The Laverne girl got the pace out good. I think she was thinking she could break everybody separate and just run for time. Bryn just latched onto her, and we had talked earlier, just make sure if you latch onto her, don't gas yourself, so then that last 100 meters, you're just reeling, trying to hang on. But she went through the first lap. They were hot out, and then with about 2:50 to go, she took the lead. She pulled past the Laverne girl and took the lead going home. Then the Laverne girl pulled up alongside her with 50 to go. And so those two were pretty much neck and neck going in, and then she just pulled and found another gear and stepped ahead, and she ended up winning it.
Ooh.
She ended up going 6.5 seconds faster than she's ever ran the 800. She went 221.56. So it was just a great finish for her to do that. And again, that's what we've been kind of hoping is, you know, how fast can she run when she runs in the competition? So she gets to qualify for the state meet, and she gets to run there in a week and a half. Boys 800, we had two boys in there. Gavin Carl was our top runner. He was ninth at 208.13. And then Tayden Clark was 12th at 212.87, and the 800 was a hot race. Too flat, I think, if you looked at times, 159 was top, but then you went all the way to 201, and that was 2 seconds out, and that was five places. So that was a very, very solid 800 in there. Girls 200, Micaiah was in that 200. Again, she was pretty shelled. The speed, having to handle things, everything else, she was in a tough spot, but she still competed very well for us. She finished 12th. I believe it still is a personal best for her in the 200. So, again, that's all you can ask, too. And she finished 12th with 28.28. So, again, just a great finish in that 200. Kind of a dark horse is this 200 for boys. Brayson was in the 200, kind of just said, let's just see what you can do. So this was his third 200 of the season. So he hasn't run a lot. And his brother had worked a little bit with some starts, trying to get him come out of that starts a little bit better. Now, the bad thing is he had a lane one position. When you're 6'7" and you're running in lane one, very, very tough when the other ones are in the outside lanes because the curve is that much tighter to get around. So he had to fight that mess to get through. But, boy, he ran really, really well. He ended up finishing fourth. He was only one hundredth of a second out of third. So that's all. But he was right. It was a wall of four. Wow. Coming down the straightaway, and just he was put himself in it, but he ended up finishing fourth, 23.28. We 4x4s. The concern I had the 4x4s is did we have anything left in the gas tank? And our kids in the 4x4 were all shelled, and that's all you can ask. They still went out there and competed very well. Did not have our marks that we had hoped for, but they were tired. It was a long day because I think they ended up running about 8:30 at night, and so it got a little later when you're over it. We get to Redwood at 1 o'clock, and you're there still competing. It was a long day, but they still competed very well to finish eighth, 4:23.38, 5 seconds off their personal best, but still I thought they competed very well. That was Bryn Glagey, Sadie Rosendahl, Micaiah Poost, and Taylor Wood. 4x4 boys. Same thing, some gas boys there to see what they have. Because, again, you know, we're putting a lot of guys in a lot of spots. They ended up finishing seventh. That was Beckett Anderson, Tayden Clark, Gavin Carl, and Tanner Callis. So, you know, through the running events, I thought we ran really, really well a lot and competed very hard in our spots. Going into the high jump, starting off in the field events, they started at 4.8. Unfortunately, Sadie Rosendahl did not clear 4.8. They do is when they set the prelims for heights in sections, they take the 12th place height, and that's the starting mark. Well, 4.8 was a personal best for her 2 weeks ago. So now you're right at that edge. And I know the coaches thought her second attempt had a great attempt second. Just didn't quite get it, but then the third one was a tough one. But she's, you know, 4'10" is a personal best. So she was right near it. Just unfortunately, she got no height, but she did what she, you know, she needed to do. Boys high jump, you know, that's one. That's now this is our number two event. We thought we had a chance game with Brayson. And Brayson wasn't seated. He was not seated as a top kid in the high jump. So our goal was a jump standard, which is 6'2". And that's what I told him. I said, 6'2" is all you got to clear. Everything else is at this is going to be the bonus all we can get. And him and the Morris kid got a big-time jumping field going. And there was actually four guys going at 6'2". Well, he's got to clear 6'2 to get in. If he doesn't hold where he's at, doesn't clear, he may not get into state. He cleared 6'2", got it in. They went to 6'4 with the Morris kid, cleared both 6'4". And I believe his clearance at 6'4", Kester and them were figuring that was probably a 6'7 jump. He had cleared it that well and just technically was off. He went to 6'6". So him and the Morris kid were tied at the height going in, but unfortunately he came down misses. I think he had one less miss than Brayson did, so he gets second. But he gets to go to the state meet in the high jump, so that was kind of our goal there. But he cleared 6'4", and this is the best he's looked. He did not look very good at subs. He looked very good at sections and looked technically and looked really focused in that. Boys pole vault, again, they go that match of that mark. So now basically both our pole vaulters are right at their personal best or near their personal best, having to clear. Unfortunately, Tate did not clear. I believe they started at 9'8", and Tate did not clear at 9'8", because at sections he went 10'2", and that was his personal best. So that's not far off. It's just the problem is when you're young and experienced, what we have at vaulters, you'd like to start that lower height and they become confidence in. Just had too much pressure on this, didn't quite have it there, so he did not clear opening height. But David Torgerson cleared opening height. He cleared 9'8". He finished 10th, and that is a personal best for him. So, again, you go with and compete, and that's the thing, is you got to handle the situations around you. And like I said, I thought, you know, the vaulters handled it the same thing as the high jumpers. Handled the starting height. It's a little different, but they handled where they need to be. Boys long jump was our third event we thought we had a shot in. Brayson was, I think he was seated third in that coming in the long jump. So, again, top two are automatics, needs to jump well and everything else. He ended up winning the long jump. He went 21-11 inches, which he actually beat the kid from Bold by 1 inch. So he qualified for the state meet in there. And, again, looked very, very strong, and that's you kind of see how it goes, and that's all you can ask out of him. So he will get a chance to go back and to also in the long jump. Girls triple jump, Morgan Anderson really had a nice jump. She ended up jumping really well in there, and she ended up getting 10th place at 31'3¾" for her, and that's just great. You like the way she has excelled at the last half of the season. She had an ankle injury. We fought through that a little bit. But then after that, has really gotten stronger back into it. Our fourth event, I thought we had a shot, and it was a triple. And they kind of changed things this year at the section meet was they started with boys triple. Usually it's always boys high jump and long jump first. Then you go to triple. Well, they started out with triple. While going into the triple jump, he got a really big one early. His second one was a big one and got a mark. That was basically he qualified for state. He was going into, and they go into finals. Well, since you are the best jumper, you're the last to jump in every flight. He got his first one in the finals, got a decent mark, wasn't better than his first. Well, then we had our rain delay. And as coaches, we were talking about, you know, he's automatically into the state meet. There's no big deal. The kid that is actually second behind him, who is a big-time jumper out of Hills. So it's like, okay, what are we doing? I said, let's just can him. Let's hold him off because he needs strong legs for that high jump and that long jump. We need him healthy there. We need him as much energy in there. So we scratched him out of his last two attempts in the finals. Unfortunately, Redwood kid on his last jump beat him in the finals, but it didn't matter because Brayson had already qualified because his mark was a state standard. So unfortunately, he was not happy with me on it because he did not want to get beat, which I don't blame him. I mean, you don't want to get beat, but you know, you fight the wars that you can fight, but you won't win the battle. That's the whole thing. What are you going to do? Our goal is the state meet. And that's what he understood afterwards and had a nice discussion about it. But he's a competitor, and that's things you look at. You want to compete. You want to go. But you also got to understand is next week is for everything. There is nothing after next week. So that's why we're kind of getting ready. So So he, unfortunately, the kid from Redwood hit a big jump at his last jump and passed him. But we kind of gave him a little fire. But so now he gets to go back to defend the state title in that triple jump. And that's all you can ask. Got to get that. But Brayson ended up getting second overall, 43 feet 2 inches. That's his best mark of the year. So he is hitting everything in that. Then we jumped into the shot put. Carson Greppi ended up finishing ninth, 47 feet, 2.5 inches. Again, the kid has come a long ways. He was struggling to get 36 feet. Then all of a sudden, boom, he got into the last month of the season. He had 11 feet onto his distance. That's changing your style and changing your mentality. He really got into it, and that's all you can ask. So scoring-wise, team, the boys ended up finishing fourth with 44 points. Redwood won it with 108. Laverne was second at 74. Then Hills Beaver Creek, 57, and then we were at 44. Girls finished 12th with 22 points. Laverne and Redwood went 1-2, 101 to 92, and then Benson was third in that. So, again, I thought our kids handled it very well. Did we get everything we wanted? No, but that's part of life. You don't get everything you want, but you kind of hope and pray. Oh, I did forget to mention one person in the triple, Beckett Anderson in the triple. He ended up making... he made finals under a technical error that the officials did, so he got a chance to get some extra jumps in there. So he ended up finishing seventh in the triple, and that was his personal best in the triple, and he ended up going 38 feet 5.5 inches. So I forgot him, but a great experience for him as a ninth grader. So again, you compete, you do what you can, and like I said, I thought our kids really did well and did some outstanding things, and Nothing to whine and cry. Competed.
So now you got to wait a week and a half before you go again.
Yeah.
And that's kind of different, but you can explain the situation.
Yeah. See, traditionally, it's always will be this coming week on with them change. It'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the state meet. Well, St. Michael Elkville hosted. That's also during their graduation time slot. So they wanted to move it to the following Tuesday, Wednesday. And the state of high school league agreed to it. I know there's a lot of coaches don't like it. I'm kind of that area. I don't know if I really like it either, because now you got to change a little bit of your philosophy, a little bit get yourself rolling, because you don't want to lose that sharpness. So you're going to have to go through a weekend. And, if you could have some kids that maybe are gone on a trip, so you're fighting that mess there. So it's too bad, but you're going to have to adapt and handle it, so that's going to change things up. So we're going to get a full week of practice in this week, and then we'll turn around and go there Monday, and then Bryn will jump on Bryn will run on prelims on Tuesday to qualify for finals. They'll run that at 3:30 on Tuesday. And then Brayson will triple jump also at 3:30 on Tuesday. So we'll see what he can get those. He is the defending champion, see what he can do. Again, what he's got is he's got a state title in his pocket. He's got two if you really look at it, but he's got one in track and triple. Can't take the win. If you don't win it, it's no pressure. You just go and compete, because it's a new year. Because, again, we always talk about you can't control what happens from year to year. You only can control what you can do now. So that's going to be the big thing is with him is just let's go out and see what happens. And if we win it, God, it's going to be so special to win two in a row. And that's what you look at. And same thing next day, if Bryn makes finals and then we're good, so we have that. And then we'll look at, makes finals Bryn, then it'd be a great chance for her. And then Brayson will jump high jump and long jump, which is a pain in the rear end, because he's going to get into a bunch of grumpy officials where they're going to drag, they're going to hold him, and then they're going to pull him one arm because he's got a little long jump, then they're going to pull his other arm to go back to high jump. And it turns into really a circus. It's too bad, because there's not many jumpers that are high jumpers and long jumpers, so he gets yanked a little bit. So hopefully we can critique that a little bit in practice a little bit this week so he can handle it and so we can go with it. And so who knows? I mean, long jump is probably his wild card. Then that high jump, you just don't know what you're going to get. So he's going to be in the thick of things in all three events, and that's what you can ask.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we won't talk next week. But we'll hear all about it the following week and probably wrap up your season at that time. But congratulations getting four events in and basically what you wanted.
Oh, you always want more, but you can't be green, but like, it's what we plan for, and that's the thing, is that's what you ask.
And all the personal best. So.
Yep.
And you got some young kids coming back that got some great potential.
Yes, we do, and that's when we talk in 2 weeks about seniors. You know, we've got a lot of seniors we're losing, but
right.
I think we can rebuild underneath it. It's just going to take some experience, and they're going to have that.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in with the good results, and we'll hear all about it in 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track. We'll take, after the break here, we'll be talking baseball with Darby Biergun.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods right downtown Dawson, Minnesota is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.com.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Saturday afternoon, Q92 Sports has Section 3A baseball. It's an elimination game between the Minneota Vikings and the Dawson Boyd Blackjacks. It'll be played at Yankee Field in Milroy. First pitch around 2:30 Saturday afternoon. That's Dawson Boyd in Minneota in Section 3A baseball Saturday right here on Q92.
And welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk La Caprile Valley Baseball. Good morning, Darby.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you had a very busy week since we last talked.
Yeah, we saw a lot more games this week than we did the week before with all the rain. So it was a little bit of a different, almost complete opposite, a 180.
That's right, and exciting time of the year when it's playoff time too, isn't it?
That's always a good time of the year.
All right, fill us in, how the Eagles go.
Sure, so on Saturday, last Saturday, we started our playoff in Dawson, and our first round matchup was against Camby Lancers, and we came away with a 6-4 win. It wasn't quite the game we were expecting, but we'll take a win anytime you can in the playoffs. So we scored two in the first and one in the second. Camby put three up on the second. We scored three in the third, and they scratched one across in the seventh to make it a 6-4 final La Caprile Eagles win. Dylan Keimig was 1-for-3 with a run and two stolen bases. Davis Patzer was 1-for-4 with a run, two stolen bases. Brock Bierneld was 1-for-2 with a double, an RBI, a sacrifice, and a stolen base. Brant Schomer was 1-for-3 with a run, one RBI, and two stolen bases. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-3 with a run, one RBI, and a stolen base. And Tyler Earp was 1-for-2 with a run and one RBI. And that was a two-out hit that was pretty important for us. In total in that game, we had some other guys with some stolen bases, but we had 11 stolen bases in that game. So it was a good game for us moving on the bases. Starting on the mound for us, just kind of a rough start for a couple of our pitchers, walking guys, and we had Nolan Smith come in, and he shut the door there and did a really nice job. But Davis Patzer started on the mound for us. He went 1 2/3, giving up one hit, three runs. They were earned. He walked five and struck out two. Matt Arndt came in, gave up two walks, and then we brought Nolan in, and Nolan did a really, really nice job in relief. He pitched 5 1/3, gave up two hits, one run, one earned, five walks, and he struck out 10. And I believe in all those pitches, he threw one off-speed pitch. Otherwise, he was working a two-seam and four-seam fastball. Seemed like he had a really good snap on that ball. So after that win, it brought us into that was an elimination game. That first round of playoffs is if you lose, you're done. But luckily, we got that first win 6-4, and we moved on to play Dawson right after. and we came on the short end of that one. We scored two runs early. We had a lot of excitement, a lot of juice going through our veins and stuff, but that was the only runs that we were able to scratch across. Dawson put one up in the first, and then they put five up in the third. That was just a rough inning for us. And then they got one more in the fifth. So it was a 7-2 final for Dawson Boyd winning that game. Dylan Keimig was 2-for-3 with a run. Davis Patzer was 1-for-3 with an RBI. It was a double. Brock Biernild had a home run in the first inning. He was 1-for-3 with one run and one RBI. And Matt Arndt was 1-for-3. Brock started on mound for us in that game. He went 2 2/3, giving up 3 hits, 6 runs, only 1 earned, 5 walks, and he struck out 1. Gavin Meyer came in relief and did a really nice job. He threw 3 1/3 inning, giving up 4 hits, 1 run. It was not earned, and he walked 1. So that put us in the loser's bracket of the playoffs, the double elimination part of it. So we had to face McCray Tuesday night in Montevideo. We came away with a 6-2 win. And on the mound was a gem for us. Brock Biernild threw a gem for us through 5. I think he was hitless if it wasn't 5 1/3 or 5 2/3. So he did a really nice job. Kind of different than what we saw from our pitching on Saturday. And you know that from last year's experience we had, pitching takes us a long ways in the playoffs. So we came around, as I said, we came away with a 6-2 win over a decent McCray team. They were a 3 seed, and I believe we were the 4 seed. So it was a close matchup between the two of us. Hitting for the day, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-1 with 2 runs, 1 RBI, 2 stolen bases, and a sacrifice. Davis Patzer was 1-for-4 with a run. Brock Biernild went 3-for-3 with 1 run and 2 RBIs. Landon Weber was 2-for-4. Schomer scored a run. Gavin Meyer had an RBI sacrifice. And Tyler Earp was 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs. And that, again, was a 2-out hit, I believe. Matt Arndt scored a run, and Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-3. As I said, Brock had quite the day at the plate and on the mound. He pitched 6 2/3. We were let him finish the game, but the pitch count at 115 hit, so we weren't able to let him record the last out. Otherwise, he would have had a complete game for us.
Yep.
So he pitched 6 2/3, gave up 2 hits, 2 runs. They were unearned runs. He walked 6 and struck out 7. So he walked a few, but he still got himself out of jams when that did happen. Gavin Meyer finished that last out for us. He threw 1/3. He gave up 0 hits, 0 runs, 0 earned. Didn't walk anybody and struck the one guy that he faced out. So I believe it was on 4 pitches. And that brought us to Thursday, I believe. I'm lost on my days here because all the rain and stuff like that changed some games around. Yeah, it brought us to Thursday where we went down to the Irish Yard down by Milroy, which is a beautiful complex, and we played Dawson there. And it was a coin flip. We ended up being the home team. Dawson scored first in the fifth, scoring 2. We scored 3 in that same fifth inning, so we went ahead by 1 in the fifth, which was super exciting and fun. And Dawson came back and put 2 more up in the sixth, and it was a 4-3 final. On the day, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-3 with 1 run. Davis Patzer had an RBI sacrifice. Brock Biernild had a run and 2 walks. Landon Weber was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Gavin Meyer was 1-for-1 with an RBI and a sacrifice. Tyler Earp went 1-for-3. Gavin Mortensen had a run, and Grant Bierke came in for a sacrifice bunt. Matt Arndt gave us wonderful, wonderful innings to start out. He threw 5 2/3, giving up 7 hits, 4 runs, only 1 earned, walked none, and he struck out 1. So Matt was what we've been asking for, is just get the ball across the plate and make them hit it. And they had 7 hits, but he worked himself out of jams many, many times, and giving up only 1 earned we those 4 runs were unearned, so we should have really held them to one run, but unfortunately the defense behind him gave up some errors. Gavin Meyer came in again. He threw 1 1/3, no runs, no earned, didn't walk anybody, and he did strike out 1. So unfortunately that was the end of our season because of the double elimination bracket. A hard-fought game against a rival that always seems to be a good game. The guys know each other and the coaches know each other quite well. Exciting game. Never like to see a season end, but now we wish the seniors well, and we move on to the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it ends in a hurry, doesn't it?
it for however long the season seems to drag on, it ended very quickly, yes.
Yeah, just that abrupt ending. No, what do you do tomorrow morning?
yeah, you kind of wake up and say, well, what's going on? We got practice today, and you don't, and yes, yep.
Well, I tell you what, Darby, let's wrap up that season next Saturday when you get some time to put stats together, and we'll recognize those seniors and put the Eagle baseball uniform on for the last time, too. We'll do that next Saturday, then.
Sounds good. Absolutely, Paul.
Okay. Thanks, Darby.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Head coach Darby Biergun of the Eagles, and we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Livestock Systems of Dawson congratulates the Dawson Boyd graduates. The journey of life brings both challenges and chances. May you carry your spirit to snatch the chances and beat the challenges. Congratulations on your graduation. May you live a proud life. The future is bright. Congratulations to you from Livestock Systems of Dawson.
You gotta love lean beef. The only dinner that's got its own soundtrack. The Sizzle. I mean, how many other lean dishes can you hear coming and enjoy every melodious moment of it? That's the sound of a sirloin's juices being seared in. And then, the encore. Every last Another reason why you gotta love lean beef. Love all 29 lean cuts at beefitswhatsfordinner.com.
Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
And brought to you by the Midwest Cattlemen's Association.
Ryan Smith Seed says it's time to make every seed count with Agri Partners' premier seed line, AP Select, offering varieties with Enlist E3, Liberty Link GT27, and conventional soybeans. As ready to extend soybeans in a premium corn lineup through REA Hybrid. We have a seed product fit for your field. Call Ryan Smith today at 320-226-1079 or Agri Partners at 605-874-2550. Ryan Smith Seeds.
I'm senior outfielder Zoe Doctor, and the Lacaparral softball team thanks the Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support for our program. I would like to thank Cargill, Clean Sight, Healing Journey Massage by Sue, and Bellingham Legion Post 441.
I'm senior second baseman Kayla Jan, and I would like to thank Lovickson Tiling, Zarbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Dominic Fernals, Fernals Concrete, Appleton VFW Post 4955, and Blake and Ramona Dineen.
I'm senior first baseman and outfielder Jalen Lee, and I would like to thank Clement Electric, Prairie Sun Bank, the Dreyer Doctors, Martinson Foundation, and Q92 FM Radio.
I'm senior shortstop Brandy Meyer, and I would like to thank Ag Country, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer Farms, Home to Home, Appleton Dental Care, and the Appleton Sportsman's Club.
I'm senior pitcher and outfielder Val Piotr. I'd like to thank Piotr Construction, Holly Rod and Gun Club, Kibble Equipment, and Appleton Veterinary Clinic.
I'm senior third baseman Kendall Shelstead, and I would like to thank Triggested Pioneer Seeds, Madison Chiropractic Center, Traeger Seeds, Joe and Deb Schreier. We thank the Home Run Club sponsors and all donors for supporting our Lacaparral softball team.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Lacaparral Valley Girls Softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And Scott's in the studio today. Welcome to the studio, Scott.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Yeah. We're usually doing this over the phone.
We are.
We're here in person today.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, section softball continued last week. And, it's a good win and a tough loss there.
Yeah, a couple tough losses, actually. Yep. But I tell you, it's a heck of a season. I'm so proud of our girls for, you know, all that they've accomplished, a conference championship and a dogfight with some really good 3A schools.
Yep.
And I think that they proved to themselves that they belonged, and all of the work that they've put in over the years has paid off. And so, fun group of girls. I'm so proud of our seniors for all that they've put up with me, you know. Just have had some outstanding careers, and sad to see them go. And yet, now that it's over and I'm still kind of getting over the pit in my stomach, I'm excited about the youth coming up here, and am very optimistic. And now I've just got to figure out how to make us even better than we were this year, so that we can take it to another level.
That's right. Yeah, section, when you're in section tournament play, you got highs and you got lows, you know, and only one team really ends with a win at the end of the year, don't they?
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got a couple games to talk about?
Yeah, okay. Yep. So we, on Saturday, we on the 24th, we had played Edgerton Southwest Christian. That was our crossover game, and we didn't know anything about them. We didn't get a chance to see them at all, and so tried to do as much scouting online as possible. But, man, that turned out to be just a complete dogfight, and The way that game started off was Edgerton, we were the home team because we were the one seed in the north. They were the three seed, I believe, in the south. They scored right away in the first inning, got a run off of us, and so we were down 1-0. And then we came up in the bottom of the second. Jalen Lee led off with a walk. Kendall Shellstead followed up. She's our two, a roped double down the right field line. So we had runners on second and third with nobody out, and Brandy Meyer came up and had a big single with two RBIs that put us up 2-1 after the first inning. And then from there, it was a pitcher's duel. I thought both of our pitchers, the Van Dyke girl from Edgerton and Maya, threw outstanding. Just a dogfight that ended up with zeros for the rest of the game, and yep, we end up winning a battle 2-1, which yep, was huge. And I felt at that point really good about kind of what we had going forward. So Jalen Lee ended that game with, she was 0-for-1 but had a walk, and a big walk, scored a run. Kendall Shellstead was 1-for-3, scored a run off, again, both of their runs were off Brandy's single in the first. Brandy Meyer was 1-for-2 with two RBIs. Zoe Doctor was 1-for-2, and Aiden Bond was 1-for-2. And so we only had four hits in that game, but we were able to muster up two runs, which was enough. Yep. Maya threw all seven innings for us, and she only gave up three hits and one run, and it was an unearned run. So she had 10 strikeouts and four walks. I thought she commanded the plate wonderfully. She yep, was painting the corners, and her changeup was outstanding, and kept a really good hitting team off balance. And so, and then defensively, we made some super plays, oh, just some really, really big plays. I think that was the game where Brandy kicked one into us into second gear and just made an outstanding play behind Kendall that
right behind third base.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, just the fact that she gave her body up to dive and make this play, and honestly, it was a next level play.
Oh, it was. It was ESPN worthy. That's for sure.
Yeah, and she's made a couple of those this year, but in that moment, I think it really set the tone for
changed the game. I think
it did, and then it showed showed her teammates like, hey, I'm here to get after this thing, and it was just great senior leadership, and it's what we expect out of Brandy because she's a competitor and she's just tenacious. So yeah, so we're on cloud nine. We walk away with a 2-1 victory, and we're super super excited about that. And then we get into, I don't know what you'd call it in this, but kind of the finals. The semis, if you will.
Semifinals, yeah, in the winner's bracket.
In the winner's bracket. So both us and Wabasso are undefeated at this point in tournament play. And we go into a blustery, rainy day, and again, things are just going great for us. Defensively, we are doing exactly what we need to do. We give up a run in the second inning to Wabasso, a run in the third inning, so we're down 2-0. In the bottom of the fourth, we come back and we tie it up. So we're tied up at 2, and then the bottom of the fifth, we...
Was that Callie Kahn with the double?
Yeah, there, I think it was. Yep, yep. And just some really big hits. Kayla Jan had an outstanding game here. Brandy Meyer had an outstanding game at the plate, and Aiden Bond had an outstanding plate.
I think Kahn and Jan had the RBIs in that game, didn't they?
Yeah.
Is that the game
thinking
about?
Jan had three RBIs and Kahn had one RBI. So
all the games kind of meshed together.
That's kind of where I'm at right now, too.
Get my book out here, I guess.
Yep, I should have the details in front of me. But the bottom line is it was a rainy, blustery day. And, you know, I thought we battled through really tough conditions. Both teams did. And then in the sixth inning, we're up 4-2. We're in the sixth inning. And Wabasso, we get a couple outs on them, and then the rain's starting to come down a little bit harder, and felt like every pitch we were having to throw a new ball out to Maya because it was slippery, and finally it was time to call the game. Yep. And the rain, the puddles were starting to form on the field and all of that. So
batter's box was a mess,
and very quickly the rest of the field was too. So I appreciated their decision there, but it left us in limbo. We're sitting at 4-2. We've got things rolling. Maya's locked in. Our defense is locked in. We were just starting to time this pitcher up, and I felt like there were more runs coming to us, and then they called it. So they called it with two outs, runners on second and third, and what we thought was a 1-1 count, but the next day it was changed to a 2-1 count. But regardless, we came out. We did the deal. In a big sequence, Maya threw two Struck the girl out.
To resume the game the next day.
Yeah, the next day. Yep. So we had, you know, we went through the whole process again of warm ups and batting practice and the whole deal.
That's tough.
Come in with runners on second and third and a 2-1 count, and we struck that girl out, which was huge. So we're on cloud nine, thinking we're in a really good spot right now. And then unfortunately, the softball gods decided that we weren't in a good spot in the seventh inning, and Maya had some location problems, and the changeup wasn't working as well on that day. And then defensively, we ended up with, it was five or six errors in that inning that we just, and gave up some hits that inning too, and we just couldn't get out of it. And we gave up eight runs in that inning. So it was, and yet our girls didn't quit, so I was proud of them, because we came up in the bottom of the seventh, being the home team. We won the flip and had some opportunities. We had some big hits and runners in scoring position. So if things could have continued to go well, we did have shots, but ultimately ended up losing the game 10-6. In that game, Kendall Shelstead was 1-for-2, scoring twice. Brandy Meyer, like we said, big game, 2-for-3, scoring three times. Kayla Jan was 3-for-4, another huge game with three RBIs, scoring once. Callie Kahn was 2-for-4 with an RBI. She had a nice game there, too. And Aiden Bond was 2-for-3. She was really starting to see the ball here at the end of the season well, too. Maya threw seven innings, did give up 13 hits, 10 runs, six of them were earned, had three strikeouts and two walks. I will say, Wabasso, they're tough. Defensively, they're tough. At the plate, they're tough, and I thought their pitcher did a nice job of keeping us.
Yeah, Jennings throws pretty well.
Yeah, she does. So now we're sitting in we were on the high of highs coming into this game, and we dipped down to the low of lows after that tough inning, and then now we've got to face Edgerton coming in, who we just beat 2-1 in a dogfight.
Yep.
You know, a couple days before, and they came ready to play, and they were excited because they just knocked off YME. So we've got to try to balance this out, and I thought our girls did a really nice job of that, keeping their heads in it. We always talked about, hey, we've got one free one, one kind of ghost runner, if you will, and now we've used it up. So in this final game on Wednesday, then they came out and competed. Edgerton scored right away in the first. Then they scored two more runs in the second, so we were down 3-0. And then Aiden Bond comes up in the bottom of the second and jacks a two-run home run.
Wow.
And I think that's the inning that it was.
Yeah.
But first varsity home run of her career.
Finished her freshman year?
Freshman year, yep. So, and it was kind of a no-doubter. I mean, she caught it, and it was fun to see the smile on her face. And that gave us a spark that we needed. So we were down 3-2. We got out of the third inning not giving up any runs. We scored a run in the bottom of the third, so it's 3-3. Edgerton scores a run in the fourth, so they're now up 4-3. And then in the bottom of the fourth, we score two more.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Kendall. Or eight, maybe. Yeah, I don't remember who had the RBIs, but we score two more runs in the bottom of the fourth. So we're up 5-4, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be an offensive dogfight here, because again, Maya was gritting her teeth, maybe didn't have her best stuff. I thought their pitcher, the Van Dyke girl, was, again, we were starting to get on her. So, and then all of a sudden, the fifth inning, we just had some things happen, some hits, some errors, some just bad stuff, and Edgerton scored five runs in the fifth. We just couldn't get out of it. We answered back with a run in the bottom of the fifth to make it 9-6, and Edgerton tacked on one more in the seventh, beating us 10-6 in that game. Our girls never quit. Jalen was 1-for-3 with one run. Kendall had an outstanding game. I mean, she tore the cover off the ball. I think she was going to be an impossible out. She was 4-for-4, scoring a run with an RBI. Zoe Doctor scored a run. Val Piotr had a nice game at the plate, too. She was 2-for-2 with a walk, scoring twice. And then Aiden Bond, again, nice game, 1-for-3. First ever home run with scoring a run and two RBIs. So we ended up with eight hits. Edgerton had 11 hits. The unfortunate thing is we had five errors on the game and just didn't equate to what we needed it to. Maya threw all seven innings again for us, gave up 11 hits, 10 runs. Only two of them were earned, six strikeouts, two walks, and the season was over,
yep.
You know, just like that.
Just like that, yep. Yeah, and then Owabasso went on to beat Edgerton for the championship, yeah, so they're on their way to the state. So.
Yep, so I sent Tiffany a text today and just said their head coach, and I just said congratulations, go represent 3A. Honestly, whoever comes out of it, I felt like they will compete well down there, you know. And, yep. And but for our girls, I'm grateful. I'm proud of them, and I wouldn't have wanted to go through it with anybody else, but the end is always tough.
Yep.
You know.
That's right. Very tough. They put a lot of time into the softball program when it starts.
Yeah, they do.
I remember early on in the season, I was up at with Clinton to start the season, and it goes fast, too, though.
It does, and then now for these young girls, you know, it's been a long season, and now we roll right away. Our 14s are going to play on Sunday. Oh. Our varsities play on Wednesdays. We start our skill development. So, I mean, it is a long season. We've got to try to not burn them out. We've got some tournaments that we put them in this summer so they can see higher levels of ball. And but I do feel like that's how we take it to the next level,
right.
too.
That's right. So, well, next week we'll take some time and talk about all the seniors. You had a great group of seniors.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Great group of seniors, great group of kids.
Yep.
So they're class acts. So, yeah, we'll give you some stats and all that good stuff.
Is there a banquet set up?
I haven't set a date up yet. Okay. My head has been completely focused on
the
season
stuff.
So and end of school stuff. So we're going to set a date, and I think one of the ideas is to maybe do a – if we can convince dads, is to do a father-daughter game after the banquet.
Oh, nice.
So we don't know if we're going to make dads play the position of their kids or what, but we'll help everybody to realize how difficult it is. So,
yep. Okay. All right, Scott, thanks for coming to the studio today. I appreciate that. And, we'll talk next week, and we'll wrap up that successful softball season.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Head Coach Scott Swatsky of the Eagles softball team. We'll take a break, come back with more to Coach's Show right after this. Heather Floral and Nursery salutes the following Dawson Boyd graduates: Ashton Schwendra, Addison Tufto, Madeline Wente, Jeremiah Stevens, Gannon Andrews, Brody Bothan, and Clayton Ellis. Start each day believing in your dreams. Know without a doubt that you were made for great things. This graduation salute comes to you from Heather Floral and Nursery. Come on over to the City Hall Bar and Grill in Mineota, where good times and great food are always on the agenda. And say hi to Paul and Troy. Whether you're catching up with friends or winding down after work or after a game, City Hall Bar and Grill is your small town stop for big time fun and flavor. Build your own pizza just the way you like it, or bite into their juicy burgers and crowd favorite appetizers. They have Talking Waters and Brow Brothers draft beers. Kitchen is open Tuesdays through Friday p.m. and Saturdays 11 to 10, and closed Sunday and Mondays. Go to the City Hall Bar and Grill's Facebook page and click like and check out the daily specials. That's City Hall Bar and Grill, located along Highway 68, downtown Mineota.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, May 30th through Monday, June 2nd in Theater One. Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, rated PG-13. And in Theater Two, the hottest movie in the country, Lilo and Stitch, rated PG. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison.
Back here at the station, that concludes our culture show for today. There was one coach we were not able to get in, and that was Austin Ireland to wrap up the boys' tennis season. We apologize for that. We just ran out of time. That interview Paul did on tape, so we will play that next week with no track or golf. We'll have time to do that. We'll wrap up girls softball along with baseball and have that Austin Ireland wrap up of boys tennis next week, and then the following week will be the final results of golf and boys and girls track and wrapping their season up, and then Paul Remo will have the Saturday morning amateur baseball program starting as well. The Mallards will played last night. I don't know how they came out, and they'll play at 1 o'clock tomorrow here at Madison Memorial Field. So end the show with a couple jokes here. What is Mike Tyson's favorite food? Well, of course, it's corn because he can eat a whole ear. And what do parents feed an infant if they want them to grow up to be race car drivers? Of course, it's Formula One. Somebody stole my diary, and then they passed away. My thoughts are with his family. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.